Hi, guys. Thank you, Mykia and Tristan and Sam. Thank you. That was so good. I'm going to ask this question in a minute, but I want you to have like time to think about it, because sometimes it's like you need to process. But I want to open the floor, because I don't just want it to be me sharing, because this is something that we all go through. But can you think of a time when God's faithfulness came through, even when you didn't think it was possible? Can you think of a time? Brenda's ready to go. She's got a story, and I love it. Can you think of a time where God's faithfulness came through, even when you didn't think it was possible? Do you want to share now, or do you want a minute? Okay. While that's processing, I'm going to read through Psalm 73. I'm going to read out of the New Living Translation, just because the flow of the words and just how it sounds, I identify with a lot. So Psalms written by David. Here we go. It says, "Truly God is good to Israel, to those whose hearts are pure. But as for me, I almost lost my footing. My feet were slipping and I was almost gone. For I envied the proud when I saw them prosper, despite their wickedness. They seem to live such painless lives. Their bodies are so healthy and strong. They don't have troubles like other people. They're not plagued with problems like everybody else. They wear pride like a jeweled necklace and clothe themselves with cruelty. These fat cats have everything their hearts could ever wish for." I like it. It makes me laugh every time. They have everything their hearts could ever wish for. They scoff and speak only evil. In their pride, they seek to crush others. They boast against the very heavens, and their words strut throughout the earth. And so the people are dismayed and confused, drinking in all their words. "What does God know?" they ask. "Does the Most High even know what's happening? Look at these wicked people enjoying a life of ease while their riches multiply." I think the Message version sums that up in saying, look at their Instagram feeds and see how cool they look. But that's just for the millennials and the younger people in the room. Sorry. And then he goes on and he says, "Did I keep my heart pure for nothing? Did I keep myself innocent for no reason? I get nothing but trouble all day long. Every morning brings me pain." Raise your hand if you've been in that boat. Yep. Uh-huh. Okay. "If I had really spoken this way to others, I would have been a traitor to your people. So I tried to understand why the wicked prosper, but what a difficult task it is. Then I went into your sanctuary, oh God." Real quick. "Then I went," after all of this like spinning around, "then I went into your sanctuary, oh God, and I finally understood the destiny of the wicked. Truly, you put them on a slippery path and send them sliding over the cliff to destruction. In an instant, they are destroyed, completely swept away by terrors. When you arise, O Lord, you will laugh at their silly ideas, as a person laughs at dreams in the morning. Then I realized that my heart was bitter, and I was all torn up inside. I was so foolish and ignorant. I must have seemed like a senseless animal to you. Yet I still belong to you. You hold my right hand. You guide me with your counsel." I love God so good. "Leading me to a glorious destiny. Whom have I in heaven but you? I desire you more than anything on earth. My health may fail and my spirit may grow weak, but God remains the strength of my heart. He is mine forever. Those who desert him will perish, for you destroy those who abandon you. But as for me, how good it is that I be near to God." "But as for me, how good it is to be near to be near God. I have made the sovereign Lord my shelter, and I will tell everyone about the wonderful things you do." It's heavy. It's gross. It's real. It's life. But this psalm just speaks so much into things that I feel like are everyday things we go through. So if I say things like, you need to do, what I'm really saying is, Andrea needs to do. And if it speaks to you, great. If it doesn't, we'll move on because that's fine. But going back to my question, have you ever had a time where God's faithfulness came through even when you didn't expect it? You ready? Okay.
Okay, Heaven, do you have a time that you want to share? Gosh, you can go forward and backward, and there's not a time where his faithfulness has not come through. But I think the most significant times are in the beginning when you're questioning whether or not God is real. And those times have set the course of my life to be able to establish in the times when I'm challenged today that God is faithful and I don't have to doubt because he came through even when I didn't believe. And so I think back on the times when my little family was at its absolute most devastated place, completely ripped apart, and every kind of evil could possibly come in, and yet, but God. And to stand here over 10 plus years later with most of my family present and to be a different person myself, that is God's faithfulness. To have a husband who loves me and children who love me and bless me that I love and bless back, that didn't happen 10 years ago. Anyway, that is God's faithfulness.
Anybody else? Yeah.
So I'm going to share a very current time to answer to you. So most of you know that I'm working at the resort and that it has been a very difficult experience working at the resort. To go from a place where I'm doing what I absolutely love and just being so fulfilled in that to going to corporate America, where people are really cruel and wicked, and this scripture really speaks truth to like my everyday life. I have had anxiety lately. I've been super stressed. I've had pain in my body because I'm abused. Like, people come into the resort and they are unhappy because everything's not perfect. And these are really wealthy people most of the time. And so when it talks about the prosperous ways and all that, they're people who are wealthy and but things aren't going perfect. So they accuse me, and I and all the other front desk staff get the beatings from that, and it's really draining and daunting on my soul. And so I've just wondered, Lord, I know that you called me to be on this mountain, to be at camp. It was very evident. I saw it, not right away, but I did see that I was being used, you know, over time, and that he had me here for an appointed time. And then I started to feel like, well, why am I still on this mountain? There's youth group and I'm committed to that, so I get it. But with this job, I'm just like, I don't have to get it, but I just feel like I'm just wasting away, and like my soul is just like getting beat down. Yeah. And so at my job, they have GSS report or reviews, which is the guest services surveys. And if your name gets mentioned in this survey, you get a certificate that says congratulations for outstanding guest services, and you get $25 each time. I started in January. I've been there for 9 months next. What is today? 9 months this week coming up. And I've had 15 of them, and that's the most in the entire resort. And I'm not saying that to boast, but I'm saying it as like, I've asked, Lord, just let this light shine, because I don't want to. I don't want to. Like, and that's not usually me, but these people are cruel. And I'm like, I just don't want to. And a lot of people in the resort have dealt with that over and over. So they're bitter and hardened because they're treated so poorly. And so I asked, Lord, can you just let your light shine? You have your way. You be glorified. And I have no idea who these people are, because more than less are not nice. So I don't know who does them, but it was just such a testament to God's faithfulness that just be who I've made you to be. Just stand firm and I'll be with you. And so, yeah.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah, good word. Anybody else?
I have one thing.
Yeah.
So,
stand up.
No.
I can't. My arm's cut. So, I think we all have times in our life where we've gone through something and it was just God. There was like no other way. We threw our hands up and said, kind of like, now I'll go into the sanctuary. Now I'll trust God because I've tried every other way, so I have no other choice but to trust God. And I think God this morning was just reminding me of, like, he always shows me things through my kids. And I have a little 10-year-old who I can do, on a Saturday, I could do everything in the world for. And on Sunday, everything that was done Saturday is forgotten, and it's a brand new day. What are you going to do today? And I think God's reminding me this morning of how many things he's done for me, but I've already moved on to the next thing I need him to do for me and haven't even thanked him for what he did yesterday. God is so good. He's done so many things for each and every one of us. But the enemy comes in today to try and thwart what God has already done for us. So I think God just is just telling me this morning, again, if it doesn't apply, if it's just me, it's just me. But don't let the enemy distract you from what I'm doing in your life yesterday, today, and tomorrow.
In 2001 or two, I'm not sure which, God moved my whole family up here on this mountain. And none of us knew the Lord, but he already had a plan before we even knew him. And he's been working on his plan of goodness and faithfulness from the time he moved us up here to today, and he's going to continue doing what he's doing because he completes what he starts. I'm watching the blessings roll over to all my grandchildren now. Kayla just returned home from Florida, and we're just overjoyed that she's here. Anyway, that's a testimony of God right there. And we thank Jesus for everything he does.
Anybody else?
Okay.
So I...
Hi, Gloria.
Good morning. At the end of my time in high school, I had gone from this like super achiever, very proud of myself, with goals and plans, and it just all fell apart by the end of high school, especially academically. And these like abilities and dreams that the Lord has given me often... connected to education, I just said, okay, well, that none of that worked. So I'll move on and I'll find other things. And being back in school now, I'm in my second semester. It's amazing to see how those things that he created me to do and to be and the way I think and the way I study and like all of these things that he created were not forgotten, even though I forgot them. So to have God in such a practical, tangible way that you can measure by looking at a piece of paper and seeing a grade be rekindled in me has been so wonderful. I am so thankful for God and all of the gifts that he has given me in that arena and everywhere else, but especially like that arena. And it's... yeah, I'm just so thankful for his faithfulness that a decade later, it's even better than it was to begin with.
I love it because it's 'cause it can be any area of your life. It can be relationships. It can be school. It can be family. It can be like inner... changing and growing stuff, and you just go, I needed to be reminded of it. I love the songs we sang this morning. They're just great reminders of those things. One of the lines I wrote down, because we sang it so many times, it was like, if our God is for us, then who can ever stop us? If our God is with us, who can stand against? And then we sing, our God is an awesome God, right? And we say these words and we believe them, but do we carry those with us? And this psalm just, I don't know what it is about it, but it hits me hard because it goes, yeah, God is good. God is good. He's an awesome God. That's true. But look what's going on. And we go from God is good to, but what's going on over here? And we get distracted and we start looking at what everything else is going on with other people. And we start comparing, right? And what's that saying? Comparison is the thief of joy, right? It's that, I don't know, I think that's what I wrote down. Okay, thanks. Gloria's giving the heads up. We start comparing what we've got going on to other people, right? It's that grass is the greener on the other side of the fence. I told myself, all I want in life is to get a house so I can get a dog. That's literally the goal. End period. That was it, right? I was like, I don't care if there's a man. I don't care if there's kids. I just want a dog. And guess what? I got it. I have my house. I'm going to be living by myself in September. Life is complete. I've got the dog. I should be happy, right? I should be. The second I get those things, I'm like, oh, now I'm lonely. I mean, I've got this dog. It's great. But like, where are the people? Like, where's the community? And I'm thankful for my church family. You guys, like, the fact that we can sit here and banter is awesome, right? But there's always something more that we want. And the second I start looking and saying, but what about that person? What do they have that I don't have? It's just this, it's this vicious cycle. It's what the enemy does to us, right? It's not that person that has everything. It's the enemy putting this thing in our hearts. And then he goes on, and I love how he says it. He said, I became bitter. My heart became bitter. And he goes, what the heck am I doing, right? But throughout this, God's character is proven over again, because he says, in the words of Kristen, stop it. Stop it. Stop it. Stop doing what you're doing. Stop looking at other people and come back to me and focus back on me. Sorry, I'm going off notes. So where am I? Okay. God's character is displayed by his goodness, because it does not allow him to fall through on his promises, right? If you've ever been promised by something by God and it hasn't happened, well, you're not waiting long enough, apparently. But his faithfulness gives us the freedom to trust that he will do what he says, even in the midst of all of the gross and the hard and the painful and the quiet and the where are you, God, moments. But when we hear him in his voice, when we finally step into his sanctuary, we can understand what's really going on, right? It's not only understanding the wicked, it's understanding the bitterness that's rooted in our hearts. And we need to learn how to know how to hear his voice. We've talked about this I don't know how many times. But we know his voice from everything else, because it always speaks the truth. It's always speaking into our identity in him, right? The promises that he's made in scripture, through other people, that we're reminded of through songs and things like that. But yeah, his goodness, he always comes through. There's that song. I think the line sometimes we sing it is, you've never failed me yet. And I go, there's no yet. Stop. It's just, you've never failed me, period. That's it. Don't ever wait for God just to like drop the ball on something, because he's not going to. He hasn't in the entire history of human like existence. So why would he do it with you? Don't. He can't. He cannot. It's not part of who he is. So wait on the Lord. And I'm, again, projecting, but I'm telling myself, wait on the Lord. And sometimes waiting on the Lord to fulfill those promises takes time. Sometimes it feels like God is gone. Sometimes it means we've got bad days. Raise your hand if you've had a bad day this week, right? Like, Wednesdays, I know Wednesdays are always my bad days. I just know it. And I try to like wake up and get into the mentality of like, this isn't going to be so bad. It's going to be okay. But then we go into meetings and work is hard and it's a long day. And I just don't like Wednesday. Well, it's like the middle of the week anyways. But like, yeah, sometimes we have bad days. That doesn't mean that God's not faithful. It means we're not refocusing on the important things. We're getting distracted. Sometimes it means we have bad weeks. Sometimes it means we have bad months. Sometimes it's bad years. And sometimes you're just going, where are you, God? And you fall into this in-between time of what is really going on? And we start comparing ourselves to others, and we start spiraling, and we get focused on just what's going on right here. I used to run way back in the day. And everyone would tell me when I ran, you have to keep your eyes up. You have to keep your eyes focused on like the farthest thing you can think of. And that's not how I would run. And that's how I know I'm not a runner, because what I would do is literally just be like, what's right here? Like I would run with my head down and I'd go, 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 go. And there was one time where I'm running and I've got my headphones in. I honestly think I had a CD player running. That's how long it's been. And I see this car, and I can hear it honking. And I finally like look up to see what's going on. And like there's like a 2-lane road and a park on this side. And then I'm kind of in the dirt on the grass. And then there's a fence. And there's like a repurposed garbage area on this side. So it's just like weird hills that kind of smells. So I'm just trying to get out of there, but I'm like, just focus on right here. And so I look over to see what this car is honking at. And then I look up and there's a deer probably where Steve's at. And it's got nowhere to go because the car's here and I'm here and the fence is here. And I'm like, this is how I die, because I wasn't looking for this deer, right? So it's just like this. I was like, move. So the car finally moves. The deer stopped jumping into the fence and he crossed the road and he was fine. But if I had kept my eyes up, if I had just kept my eyes up, I would have been able to see to anticipate what's coming, right? To see the goodness of the Lord coming down. It's that light at the end of the tunnel kind of thing. But we do. We get bogged down. And when time feels like it won't break, when things that we're going through just don't feel like they're going to let up, it gets hard. And that's why I think it's so good to just go back to scripture like this, or go back to Romans 8:28, you know, where it says like, and I know that in all things God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. And I always forget it. Who quoted it? I know what the saying is, but it basically says, well, if it's not good, then God's not done yet. Chris Valentine? From Bethel. Yeah. Chris V. So if it's not good, God's not done yet. So hold on. Hold on because God's faithful. Hold on because his work's not done, right? Camp this summer. What everyone goes, how was this summer? And it was my first summer as the recreation manager, and being, I like to call it, the director of fun. I have one of the largest teams at camp, and everyone asks, how was the summer? And I go, it was just weird. It was just weird. It was exhausting. It was hard. And I've shared a couple times. Week one, we had a stabbing. We had a kid bullying another kid, and the kid had enough of it, and he just went and got him in the arm. Everyone was fine, but we had that. It was fine. Week two, we had a busted drug deal happen right at camp. That was the new one. I think week three, I had to fire two of my staff, but in that week alone, we asked people to leave, actually, is what happened, and they chose to leave. There was 11 people from camp that just said, yep, I'm out, because they were dealing with stuff that they needed to work through and not be doing ministry in. It was just big, heavy stuff. We had other staff leave for other personal reasons, and that was hard to say goodbye. We had like more kids come than ever, and it was just hard. And staff felt like they were getting hit one week after the next of... And I kept saying, well, that was a hard week. It can't be worse than that. And then it would be. And we were just like transferring one thing to the next. And I read this psalm at the beginning of June. And I said, oh, no. Because I knew I was going to speak at camp. And I read that psalm. And I was like, that's not a pretty, it's not a light thing. It's heavy, hard things that you're going to have to deal with. So I felt like God was preparing me of saying like, be ready for the long, hard times, because they're coming. but know that there's this wonderful hope at the end of it. And in the midst of all of that craziness, I shared this a little bit before, there was a dance troupe of like 12 girls that showed up and were like, we didn't think we were coming to Christian camp. We don't have Bibles. We don't have this. We don't have that. And every single one of them came to know the Lord for the first time. We had, yeah. And like, yes, God, this is great stuff. We have our children's camp that runs every single week. And these little kids who have heard the Bible most of their lives, connecting that head knowledge to the heart that is who Jesus is, and making those first-time commitments. We have people renewing relationships with the Lord. We've got all of this stuff going on. And I say, this is happening. Why are we surprised that we're getting hit with stuff? Why are we surprised when we feel spiritually attacked? And it's because we're that front line. And I said, God, it's okay. Like, if this is going on, if these souls are being won to you, I will stand here on the front line and protect them. Like, let them be behind me. I will take the hits. I will be hurt. That's okay. I can handle it. I can take it, because your faithfulness is awesome, because your goodness is real, because if it's not good, you're not done yet. And that's hard, and it takes practice. But when our faith is challenged in those ways, it's so much stronger on the other end. And it's so good. It's so good. I love being able to hear people further in life tell me, like, this is what's going on, but God is good. And it's like, it's a juxtaposition. It's that thing that you go, but how is God good if everything is a mess? And it's that faith. It's the reminders that we have to hold on to. Sometimes we sing songs that we go, I don't know if I believe this right now, but I'm going to declare it. I'm going to hold on to this because my faith needs to hold on. And that's the coolest part of faith, is it's believing and not seeing. It's holding on for those great things. So sometimes trials come. Sometimes we go through hard things. And there's really three things we can do. There's three things that can help us and can walk through it if we let them. The most recent example I can think of that this kind of happened through, I went through I'm such a mess. I cry every time I come up here and I'm like, stop putting on mascara. It's fine. I went through a really rough breakup 3 years ago now. I don't remember, which is kind of part of the healing process. But it happened, and it was such a weird, like, public but not public thing, where, and especially living in a camp community where everyone knows everybody's business. It's just like, yep, and now you two are not together, but you have to see each other every day and work together. And I had one of my roommates also go through a breakup about 6 months after I did. And she was like, I don't understand, you have it all put together. Like, you go to work, you see him every day, and you're totally fine. And I looked at her and I just started bawling. I was like, I'm not fine. But like, but to her, I showed this strength through it, and I could walk through it with her. Yes, exactly. And I think that's the best part of community, is there's always someone that's walking just a bit before you. But yeah, through these trials, three big things happen if we let them. Number one, they help us grow. They push us, they grow us, they mold us into the people. I wouldn't be the person I am today if it wasn't for all of the good, bad, and ugly that has happened in my life. And you have to embrace that, and you accept it, and you say, thank you, God, for giving me this journey that I've walked on before, and thank you for already carrying me through whatever's coming next. But it helps us grow. It challenges our faith, and it strengthens it if we let it. Because if we don't let it, then we can lose faith, and that's hard too. But those trials lead us for others' good as well, because it helps others as they go through that same process, just like we're talking about. And the last, and I think the most important thing, especially when we share these stories, is it really does glorify God. Because when we are able to share the journeys, share the the gross things that we've gone through, and we can say, but God showed up. And when we're convicted and convinced that there's no other explanation of how we've gotten through things except for God's goodness and faithfulness, and when we share that with others, it glorifies Him, and that's the reason we're on this earth. It's the reason why we're here. And that's all I got. So, so if you can identify and relate, if there's things that you want prayer for, I'm going to invite the worship team to come back up and just play a little bit so we can just make space and spend some time sitting in this and just saying, God, like, God already knows what you're going through. He's already got you. And more importantly, He knows what's on the other end for you. But in the middle of it, it's hard. Let somebody walk through that with you today. So I will be over here for prayer for that. If you need prayer for anything else, I know we've made time a little bit already, but if you want more prayer for healing or just encouragement or also for this stuff, Kalina's going to come up too. But also if you just need time to sit with the Lord and scream at Him a little bit, that's okay. If you need to wrestle through it, that's okay. Take time. We've got lots of it. So yeah, let me pray and then we'll get started. Abba, you are so good. You are so, so good. I thank you for your faithfulness. I thank you for carrying us through things. God, we give you our hurt and we give you our brokenness. You know our hearts. You know what's going on. But Father, we just, we pray that you help us refocus on you. We pray that you align us with your heart, that you remind us that you are with us, that you have never failed us, and that you will take us through this life and into eternity with you, God. We are so thankful for your love today. God, help us to glorify you with our lives. Amen.
God bless Andrea and her vulnerability. I just want to encourage everybody. You know, there's no shame. There's no embarrassment. We're all family. There's something powerful in just making a step forward. It doesn't speak anything about where you're at in your walk with the Lord. It doesn't speak anything about what's going on in your life. It just speaks, I want to meet with Him in whatever way that is for you. And I just want to encourage you, we all have needs, every one of us. Every one of us has that something that we're still pushing through. And I really feel that the Holy Spirit's really present and He really wants to touch that thing. So don't let, can I be bold? Can I say it? Don't let pride, don't let insecurities, don't let fear, don't let those things that the enemy wants to put in your life to stop you from making a step. To say, even if I'm just a little hungry, even if I'm not even sure if God will meet me here, take the step anyway.
I felt tired and weak this morning. Yesterday I read about resting in God, and this morning I just felt blah. And when we were worshiping and singing, all of a sudden I just heard rest in me, and it just felt like a burden lifted off of me, and I felt much better.